the Ford Show, starring Dinah Shore with Peter Lynn Hayes and Robert Evan Dolan and his orchestra, and our guest for tonight, William Bendix. All presented by the Ford Dealers and Lincoln Mercury Dealers of America. And here is Dinah Shore.
I know why I've waited. Know why I've been blue. Wait each night for someone exactly like you. Why should we spend money on a show or two? No one does those love things exactly like you. You make me feel so grand. I want to hand the world to you. You seem to understand these foolish little dream I'm dreaming, scheming, scheming. Now I know why Mother taught me to be true. She meant me for someone exactly like you. Someone exactly like you, exactly like you.
Good evening, friends. This is Dinah Shore. I'm awfully glad you're spending another Wednesday with us. Bobby Dolan is here, and so is his fine orchestra. Our guest is that mighty William Bendix, the screen star, who's also the famous Riley from The Life Of. And in addition tonight, Peter Hayes is going to do his characterization of Punchy Callahan, the Punch Drunk Prize Fighter. So without further ado, we bring you the man who can do it, Peter Lynn Hayes.
Hey, Dinah.
Uh-huh.
Dinah, do you think a character like Punchy Callahan will make sense to the ladies?
And why not? Gals know as much about prize fighting as you men. We go to fights, and for your information, there are some very good lady boxers.
Oh, but you notice they don't box with men.
Probably because the men are scared.
No, not really. It's because the clinches would last too long. No fooling, Dinah. I don't think boxing talk is for the weaker sex.
I resent that weaker sex.
No offense, Dinah, but men are physically stronger. For instance, on Halloween, I'm sure it was a Schwab's drugstore.
Well, if we wanted to, we could have. And we do plenty of heavy stuff now. What about washing clothes, beating rugs, cleaning house, moving furniture? You know, doesn't do everything. And if you think gals are ignorant about boxing, just ask me a few questions about it. Ask me anything.
Okay.
Anything.
Okay. What is an uppercut?
Uppercut. An uppercut is a blow upward from the waist or hip delivered under or inside the opponent's guard.
Hey, where'd you learn that?
College.
In college? What subject?
Domestic science.
Oh. Okay, Dinah. Uncle, I give up. Here goes Punchy Callahan, folks. Punchy Callahan is an impression based on a real character I used to know in New York. One day when I was in the Army, a group of us were strolling through the Central Park when a whimsical character in an old cap came shuffling up to us. He talked something like this. Music, Dinah.
What do you say, boys? Hey, it's a lovely day out here in the park, ain't it? Hey, who am I? I'm Punchy Callahan, sonny. I'm one of the greatest light heavyweights who was ever carried out of the ring. Never heard the name, eh? Want to hear about my first fight? You guys got an hour? I was hanging around Stillman's gym, you see, and Scrappy, that's my manager, Scrappy says to me, he says, Callahan, what you need for your first opponent is a guy with a lot of experience, so that you, in turn, can absorb his experience, see? That's right. So he booked me on an $11 club date at the YMCA with a monster. Oh, a guy named Murderin' Murk. What a first round. He brushed my nose, then he belted me on the top of the head and broke my shoelaces. You see, and my manager, Scrappy, kept hollering, says, avoid him. Avoid him. So I says, avoid him? What do you want me to do, leave town? This guy was really punch. I hadn't laid a glove on him since we shook hands. Now, all of a sudden, you see, in the second round, I had Murder Murk worried. He was afraid he was going to kill me, see? Then a fortunate thing happened. I stumbled into a clinch. And all of a sudden, I recognized a familiar face in the third row. Yeah, it was me, see? Well, I reluctantly crawled back in the ring. We're going round and round. And all of a sudden, I get a brilliant idea. Now's the time for strategy. He who fights and runs away, etc. So I get around. See, I get near my corner. I give Scrappy, my manager, the old winkers. I give him the offer. He says, hey, Scrappy, throw the towel in. Scrappy looks up and says, no. Scrappy was still game, see? Round and round we go. Boom, boom. All of a sudden, I get near my corner again. I say, Scrappy, throw the towel in. And so it is now. I don't think I'll be coming around this week. Oh, that Scrappy was murder. He wasn't afraid for me to fight anybody. So anyway, what's that, officer? No, I ain't annoying these soldiers. Look, why do you policemen... You want to see my draft card? For which war? Look, officer, I'm a father. I say I'm a father. Before Pearl Harbor. Before Pearl White. Officer, I'm no bum. I'm a respectable citizen. I have an investment in this community. My checks are good. Everybody's got them. Least you could do is have a little respect for your elders. I'm Punchy Callahan. I'm a darn fine American, and don't you forget it. That badge don't frighten me, officer. I'll ram it down your throat. I got friends downtown. I'll have you shipped to Brooklyn. I still go a few rounds every morning if you'd like to try me out. Come on, put up your dukes, you bum. Come on, mate. I scared you with your billy club and your blue suit and your badge. So long, boys. This bum's running me out of the park.
Song which found an immediate spot in America's heart and now seems to have taken up permanent residence there.
A rose must remain with the sun and the rain, or its lovely promise won't come true. To each his own, to each his own. What good is a song if the words just don't belong, and the dream must be a dream for two? No good alone, for each his own. For me, there's you. If a flame is to grow, there must be a glow. To open each door, there's a key. I need you, I know. Can't let you go. Your touch means too much to me. Unto more to be kissed, or they'll never know what love can do. To each his own, I found my own, one and only.
Finland acting as our smart set editor. Tom will tell us what happens wherever the smart folks gather.
Wherever the discerning gather, there you'll see the Lincoln motor car. For this car has a great distinction, a unique character that complements the judgment of those who own it. That character is expressed in many ways. To some, the Lincoln's long, clean beauty is of first importance. The look of poised swiftness that is a kind of Lincoln trademark. To others, the Lincoln speaks of luxury, with rich and tasteful appointments, deep comfort, lavish spaciousness. And to still others, Lincoln performance is paramount. This motor car is the master of distance. Its flight is confident and calm. Now, there's another Lincoln characteristic. Precision craftsmanship in the Lincoln tradition marks its smallest details and gives it a degree of excellence seldom attained. From many points of view, from any point of view, those who own the Lincoln agree, here is the truly fine car of the fine car field. Nothing could be finer.
Coffee beans grow by the billion, so they've got to find those extra cups to fill. They've got an awful lot of coffee in Brazil. You can't get cherry soda, cause they've got to sell their quota. And the way things are, I guess they never will. They've got a zillion tons of coffee in Brazil. No tea or a tomato juice, you'll see no potato juice, cause the planters down in Santos all say no, no, no. A politician's daughter was accused of drinking water and was fined a great big $50 bill. They've got an awful lot of coffee in Brazil. No, no, no. So you'll add to the local color, serving coffee with the cruller. Dunkin' doesn't take a lot of skin. They've got an awful lot of coffee.
An awful lot of coffee.
An awful lot of coffee in Brazil.
That's an awfully cute song, that coffee song, Dinah.
Isn't it clever? It sounds a lot like Rogers and Hart.
To me, it sounds more like Chase and Sanborn.
Mr. Bendix, I presume.
Yes.
Bill, it's good to see you. And you're looking very well, considering, you know, the blow you suffered last month.
Oh, yeah, that was tough, Dinah. It's pretty hard to take.
I tried to reach you to tell you how sorry I was.
Oh, that's all right, Dinah. It was sweet of you to send those flowers. Sure was tough.
I'll bet it was. Yeah.
Well, maybe Brooklyn will do it next year.
Sure. Miracles can happen, Bill.
Bill, are you still thinking about that pennant race? This is November.
Yes, you're right, Pete. After all, what is it? Baseball? A game? It was a good season. Well played. Brooklyn did its best. It fought gamely and deserves credit for its splendid endeavor. Them crummy bums. Let's change the subject. It depresses me.
Okay. Say, Bill, you know Pete's going to make a picture?
No.
Yeah. Bill, any small tips will be welcome.
Well, Pete, the first thing is to study acting. It'll pay off.
Oh, I've been doing that, Bill.
Good. Study all there is to know, especially diction. Boy, I'll always be glad that I learned myself how to speak diction.
Say, Bill, do you think Pete will make a good leading man?
A leading man? Pete, why do you want to be a leading man?
Well, it seemed like a good place to start.
Pete, look at me. In my new Paramount picture, 2 years before the mast, I'm playing a character actor, not a handsome leading man. And I had my choice. But, Peter, I don't play leading men, and do you know why?
Let's go back to baseball.
Go ahead, Bill. Tell us why.
Because we character actors last longer. Long after the Allen Ladds and the Tyrone Powers and the Gregory Pecks have lost their looks, we will still be repulsive.
Now, that makes sense, I think.
Well, sure. When you play a character, it's interesting. You really have to study a guy, know him.
Well, that's true. Now, first, we'll take Punchy Callahan. It would be very interesting to examine what sort of guy he is. I mean, how a Callahan got to be Punchy Callahan.
Dinah, it's worth looking into.
Right. Hey, I'll be Punchy's Brooklyn girlfriend right from Brooklyn Hay.
Sounds more like South Brooklyn Hay. Hey, hey.
Never mind. Bobby, an arresting note, please. Folks, a little while ago, you heard Peter give his impression of poor old punch-drunk Punchy Callahan. Now, Pete, Bill Bendix, Bobby Dolan, and I show you dramatically how Punchy got that way. We present the fighting career of Punchy Callahan, or The Big Sleep.
Hi, Silly. My name is Mrs. Punchy Callahan. I've been married to Punchy for a long time. Almost 20 rounds. I remember before we was married when I was just plain Dinah Dolan and he was a young fighter named Peter Lynn Callahan. I always tried to get him to stop fighting. Now, you listen to me, Peter Lynn Callahan. I am telling you for the third, final, last, and not least time, you got to give up prize fighting.
But, Dinah, I'm fighting Crusher O'Rourke tomorrow night.
Irregardless, you got to quit. Look at you. Your ears is swollen, your nose is busted, your eyes are black, your front teeth is all missing. Peter, you got to quit fighting before it ruins your appearance.
Ah, but, Dinah, I can't quit now. I can become champ if I can just get over my one weak point.
Your one weak point. And pray tell, what is that?
Well, it's just that when I get hit, I fall down. You see, Dinah, my new manager...
Now, Peter Callahan, I will certainly not permit any man to which I am going to become the wife of to engage in an occupation which is foolhardy. Especially when the fool isn't very hardy. Now, you got to quit that.
Dinah! Dinah, me darling, Dinah, where is it you're after being?
Oh, here I am. Here I am, Papa dear, with Peter.
Oh, so it's him again. The maroon. Now I can't understand you at all. Now look, you canvas back.
Ah, but Mr. Dolan, I
told you no daughter of mine would marry a fighter. I'll be off with you, or I swear I'll lather your skull. If I don't, I hope I may never see Barry Fitzgerald again.
But come, Mr. Dolan, I'm going to be champ. Someday I'm going to fight Joe Lewis.
Oh, so it's Joe Lewis you're going to fight.
Well, when you fight him, I suggest you dress him up in a cutaway coat, striped trousers, and a stiff white shirt.
Now, just a moment. Why should I dress up like that for a fight?
Because then, when it's over, all they'll have to do is fold your arms. I want you gone in 2 minutes. My daughter's going to marry an idiot. It'll be someone like her father.
Now, you see, Peter, you got to give up the ring.
Oh, here you are, Callahan. Where have you been? I've been looking all over for you.
Oh, hello, Scrappy. Dinah, this is my new manager, Scrappy Bendix.
Charmed, I doubt.
Callahan, I thought I told you that women are poison for fighters. Now, look, I put you on a diet. No starches, no fats, no coffee, right?
Right.
Well, to that, add no tomatoes. Now, listen, Callahan, I want to talk to you about our strategy for tomorrow's fight. Crusher O'Rourke is going to be a tough opponent, so you got to move fast.
Okay, what do I do?
Well, as soon as the bell rings, I want you to come out and hit him with a fast right. Then cross your left to his chin and hook to his body with your right.
Won't that get him sore?
Egad, you try one's patience. Now listen to me, I got an idea. We're going to use psychology.
Huh?
The Crusher is very superstitious, so we work on his superstition.
Now, how long we do that?
We put a horseshoe in each glove.
Oh, Peter, I beg you on Bendix's knee.
No.
Please, give up this madness before it's too late. Believe me, it's better to be a live person than a dead corpse.
Don't listen to her, kid. You fight tomorrow night. Pete, stick with me and you'll wear diamonds.
Yeah, he'll have rings on his fingers and bells in his head.
Well, Well, folks, the big bout is about to start between Creshwell Rook and Peter Lynn Callahan. And there's the bell. Both fighters advance to the center of the ring cautiously. Creshwell lets go with a terrific right. It misses, and Callahan's down. One, two,
three. Pete, talk to me. The fight's over. Pete, Pete.
What's the matter with it?
Oh, it's all right. This happens to a lot of fighters. It's called ringer mortis.
Pete, Pete, speak to me. I'll marry you. I'll be Mrs. Peter Callahan. I'll be proud to be Mrs. Peter Callahan.
Look, he's opening his eyes. He's talking.
Oh, where am I? Did anybody get the license number on that truck?
You better make that Mrs. Punchy Callahan. I'd like to dedicate this next number to Punchy Callahan. Dear Punchy, your ears are cauliflower and your head is battered, but I love you for sentimental reasons.
Love you for sentimental reasons. I hope you do believe me. I'll give you my heart. I love you. I think of you every morning, dream of you every night. Darling, I'm never lonely whenever you do believe me. I've given you my heart. For sentimental reasons, believe me. I've given you my heart.
We go now on a brief visit to New York, where the well-known editor and commentator is waiting to talk to us. Okay, New York, and Henry Lacasse.
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? The other day I went for a ride in an automobile out in Dearborn, Michigan. Al Esper was driving. Al is a stocky, blue-eyed man of 46 and the best driver I ever saw. We went tearing around an oval test track at nearly 100 miles an hour in a Lincoln. Drove over concrete humps, slewed around in sand and mud and water, and several times, going at 60 miles an hour, Al braked the Lincoln to a sudden stop. I was plenty scared, but not Al. You see, Al is one of the Ford Motor Company test engineers. With his 35 test drivers, he puts representative Lincolns, Mercurys, and Fords through thousands of miles of such driving. These cars are also driven through towns, cities, up and down hills, over all sorts of roads, through all kinds of driving conditions. Mostly young men, Al's drivers must pass a strenuous examination, very like a plane pilot's, as far as vision, reflexes, and mechanical aptitude are concerned, to get their jobs. Each of them is an expert responsible for the car he tests. These expert drivers report completely and in detail on the performance and durability of cars and trucks, and this information is passed on to the engineering and manufacturing divisions. Al Esper and his test track crew consider that they have just one major job: to make sure that tomorrow you will have an even stronger, safer, and more efficient car or truck than you had yesterday. And now, back to the Ford Show and Dinah Shore in Hollywood.
Thank you, Mr. LaCassette. In my heart, you're really a part of me. I've got you under my skin. I tried so not to give in. I said to myself, this affair never will go so well. Why should I try to resist when, darling, I know so well I've got you under my skin? I'd sacrifice anything, come what might, for the sake of having you near, in spite of a warning voice that comes in the night and repeats in my ear. Don't you know, little fool, you never can win. Use your mentality, wake up reality. But each time I do, just the thought of you. Wednesday evening. Bill, for your performance of Scrappy tonight, you ought to be awarded a Cauliflower Oscar.
Oh, thank you, Dan. It was a great honor. Oh, nice seeing you, Pete.
Same here, Bill. Say, Bill, about my chances of getting in the pictures, I think...
Hey, Scrappy, throw the towel in!
Good night, folks.
This is again by Spencer Ives and the Ford dealers and Lincoln Mercury dealers of America. And bring you Dinah Shore with Peter Lynn Hayes, Robert Emmett Dolan, and his audience. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.